Good evening, sports fans. My name is Dave Medina, and I am bringing you the world of sports as seen through the eyes of a guy in a little apartment in Santa Barbara. Good morning, sports fans. Good morning, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans.
From the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Welcome to the Top 5 DidCow episodes of 2016, a special DidCow retrospective and part of the 10 Years of DidCow season-long celebration. I'm Dave Medina, and in this edition, we look at a year of milestones on the podcast. We had our first series of guest football picks on the show, we did our first themed trivia contest, and there were also personal milestones. More on that later. With the start of the 2016 football season, we took the football picks segment in a different direction. This time around, we got a rotating panel of guest pickers to be the fourth set of picks for the week. In addition, we'll make that the fifth set of picks, I believe. In addition to my own picks, which I think was also an add to the contest. So all, in all total, we had five different groups of people doing football picks for the year. And it was quite a battle. We had some good contributors, some familiar names and some less than familiar, as we opened up the second year of doing the football picks, maybe even the third year of doing football picks full time. So it was a good time, and of course you had our regular panel still of John in Connecticut, Andy in Seattle, and a guy who also did random questions, Ron in New Jersey, and that's where we're going to start tonight. Ron was certainly the guy who had the meat of the information about football players, football prospects. He always had a very good beat on where guys would be in the draft. But he was more than that. He was a very interesting guy overall, a family man, and also a big fan of going to the gym. I mean, he is definitely keen on fitness, but what comes with fitness at the local public gym is a lot of tomfoolery and mongoism. And when he stopped in for a random questions hour in the summer of 2016, he relayed the story that he's told before about the mongo who would not back down from his New York area sports homerism.
I was going with my wife. I would take her with me. Mm-hmm. To work out, and this is about the time when she was probably 6-7 months pregnant. So you have me walking around with a pregnant woman, minding our own business. You know, we don't bother anybody. We stick to ourselves. And there was this Mongo guy. I mean, you could tell this guy's got a screw loose in his head. You know, always scruffy. Looks like he hasn't shaved or cut his hair in weeks. You know, full sweatpants outfit. And the one day I'm wearing a Red Sox t-shirt. Yeah, obviously, you know, I have no problem telling people I'm a Red Sox fan. You know, it's fucking sports. I mean, right. Really, you know, get over it, you know? So I'm wearing a Red Sox shirt, and this guy, I notice he's staring at me for a while. He's got his headphones on. And he starts muttering to himself. He starts walking back and forth, pacing around me. And he starts muttering to himself just a whole bunch of things. He's like, who does this guy think he fucking is? He think he fucking is? Not on my fucking watch. Not on my watch. The fucking Red Sox? Does he know where he lives? This is un-fucking acceptable. I will kill this motherfucker here right now. So that went on for about a good 10, 15 minutes. Oh, and I'm sitting there with my wife, and I'm asking her, like, you know, I think he might do something. You know, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? And she, you know, God bless her, she looked dead at him and just started cracking up, started laughing in his face. And And he got so angry that he left the gym. And on his way out, he yelled at the random 15-year-old girl who was at the front desk. He yelled at her, somebody better do something about this motherfucker before I come back and kill him. And he stormed out of the gym. It bothered him that much that he stormed out of the gym.
Oh, goodness.
And he left.
He left.
And he left.
Now, out of
and,
the... Oh, go ahead.
And I'll give you a follow-up to that. He's obviously the guy's insane, but... fast forward a couple months, and I'm working out, and there's a kid there, maybe 13, 14 years old, wearing a Boston Celtics jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if this kid is a Boston Celtics fan. It was a Garnett jersey. You know, maybe he just liked Garnett. I don't know. But the same guy was in there.
Oh, no.
And, boy, he did not like that. And... So I'm sitting about two or three machines away from the kid, but I'm watching it all happen. And
yeah.
He walks up to the 13-year-old kid and, you know, picture this guy is probably in his mid-30s. And he tells him, almost in a joking manner, like, do you know where you're from? And the kid looks at him, laughs, and he's like, okay, yeah. And he goes, no. Do you know where you're from? And the kid's like, yes. And he goes, well, if you know where you're from, get that motherfucking Boston Celtics jersey off your fucking body right now or I'll fucking kill you. And the kid got up and left.
Wow.
The kid got up and left. It was, to think that there's people like that in the world is scary. And
it is.
At the same time, entertaining. To see. But,
this is something else.
Yeah, I see him frequently. I don't think he remembers who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember him, and I will try to take a picture the next time that I see him.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, so what I was going to ask, basically, the only follow-up I have to that is, like, is he really big enough where he could put any serious damage if he actually wanted to fight you? Because you're a big dude.
No. But he was definitely someone who has a screw loose in his head,
right?
And probably would—he would probably use a weight as a weapon, or probably has a knife in his sweatpants or something. I mean, obviously, the guy wasn't all there, but
right.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you think twice because you know if the guy really did bother me, I would say something to him.
Sure.
But the entire time I'm thinking like this guy is a fucking whack job. And, you know, if I did say something to him, he's probably got, you know, maybe he's a big fan of starting pitcher. Maybe he's got a gun in his car, you know? I don't know.
That's true. Good point.
I don't know.
You never know. You never know. So
yep.
It's not worth your time. Like, I kind of get that. We get plenty of wackos out in the streets out here, too. So, you know, sometimes it's so off base.
They're all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no avoiding it. So, you know, keeping it cool, high road, always the way to go. In these situations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
I've got kids. I don't want to end up in jail because some guy doesn't like I'm a better murder suspect, you know.
Some bonus footage for you. That was from 2016, Random Questions with Ron in New Jersey, and the story of the New York area sports mongo who would not back down. I mean, he was just going off on people wearing Boston gear. Not on my watch. And that guy meant it, so I'll never forget that story. That was really funny. So with that, we now get into the top five episodes themselves. Let's start with number 5, and it goes back to a very capable episode. This episode could have been number 1 in a lot of years, but it's number 5, and that shows you how great this year was. But in April, Jerry and Piscataway, Lou in Hoboken, and Kevin on the Cape, a.k.a. the Junkman, Junkie, and I had the idea to do a Seinfeld-based trivia game. And I said, you know, if I'm going to do a Seinfeld trivia, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to put in all the sound clips and the music and even, like, the little between-the-scenes type music. And I just cut this all up. I mean, this took months to do. I was up very late on some of these nights just compiling clips and... I mean, realistically speaking, I don't even know if this would even be something I could actually do on a regular show. But on this podcast, it was fine, and it was a lot of fun. So, you know, it all begins with three guys who are very good at the nuances of TV's Seinfeld sitcom, a really good TV show. So we started Seinfeld Trivia, a podcast about nothing. This was from April 5th of 2016. Very good episode, and I felt like of the parts of the episode that we were getting into, these moments were the highlights. Here we go. Question 27. What name does a maitre d' yell instead of George's name at the Chinese?
Lou.
Wait, who was it? I didn't catch it. Sorry.
I think it was me, but I'm biased.
It was someone before Lou. I know. I just couldn't tell if it was Kev or if it was
somebody with a New Jersey accent. I'm not really sure.
All right, Jared, what you got?
Cartwright.
You got it. Cartwright is the one.
Cartwright. That's awesome.
That's a good. Was that what you had, Lou?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, Lou, I was pulling for you to get that one, but let's go on to question number 28. This is a great question. Question 28. What frequently referenced movie depicts a young girl's strange erotic journey from Milan
to...
Lou, what you got? Lou's
oh, on... man.
Rochelle.
Yes, it is. Rochelle. I knew everyone was going to jump on that one. Good answer. Good job, guys. Yeah. Good job. All right. What is it that Jerry refers to as the beast?
Lou.
What?
It's the B.O. in his car.
That's it?
Yeah.
B.O. or body odor or the B.O.
The ballet did it.
That's a great, great episode. I love that particular one.
It is.
Good stuff. Question 30. What's the name of the song one of Elaine's boyfriends must hear in its
entirety?
Kevin. Kevin, what you got?
Witchy Woman.
No! Oh, man!
Lou.
Thought you had that.
Gary.
Lou.
Who was next in line? I'm going to have to ask.
Lou.
Lou, okay. What you got, Lou?
It was Desperado.
That is Desperado.
Oh,
very close, Kevin.
It.
Very close. That was the other song that...
He wanted Witchy Woman to be their song.
That was the other one in the show. God, you guys are too fast for me.
then the guy performing surgery on him, after he gets hit with the axe,
yeah.
He gets zoned out. Man, witchy woman. The doctor gets zoned out at witchy woman.
Yes, good job, fellas. You guys, this is a great... You guys are doing a great job tonight. Great panel. And amazingly, we have a score at the end of three rounds, excuse me. It is Jerry with 14 points, Lou with 12 points, and the Junk Man, not even though he doesn't have a lot of points, he's been in on all these questions. He has 4 points. So, again,
I'm
Jerry...
I'm just a little slower, you know, the young guys. I'm just a little slower, you know.
No doubt, but... it's still anybody's game. Remember, we have that final round with 2-point questions, so away we go. It's a very close one here after 3 rounds.
Do women know about shrinkage?
What do you mean, like laundry?
No.
Like when a man goes swimming afterwards?
It shrinks?
Like a frightened turtle.
Why does it shrink?
It just does.
I don't know how you guys walk around with those things.
Guys, that was from The Hamptons, one of my favorite episodes of the series.
That's one of my favorites, too.
It's so good. That show had the shrinkage. He had the lady going topless. It was, oh my gosh. Just
Boutros golly.
Oh, so good. So, you know, that was one of my favorites. What are your favorite episodes of the series? You don't have to do just one. You can do like two or three if you need. We'll go down the line. Kev, what were your favorite episodes from Seinfeld's series run?
I liked any... I like all the... Like I said before, I like the uncomfortable parts. I like any part where George is with Susan and her parents, or with her, with like when in their apartment, when there's like the doll of that looks like George's mother. Any like George with a relationship, whether it's his wife who dies, which is ridiculous, and or when he's driving his in-laws out to this fake Hamptons house with his fake horses. And he's just willing to take this lie just to the furthest you can possibly take it.
You want to get nothing?
Yeah. That character is just, because I have all those things in my brain, and I feel like sometimes it comes out with my girlfriend's parents and stuff, and I do ridiculous things that I really hope no one ever sees or knows about it, but sometimes you just have to just push it. Like you said, you want to get nuts? All right, let's get nuts.
I love that. Let's go nuts.
You want to make me drive 12 hours for Easter Sunday? I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to act stupid because you know what? This was the most ridiculous one-day trip of my life. So guess what? I'm going to get my money's worth.
Oh, gosh, that was good. The limits to which George... Really, he had no limits. I think that's the bottom line. Nothing was off limits for the George Costanza character. Truly great, good stuff. Anything else you guys want to add on that one, fellas?
I like, obviously the sum of George. I like the ones with Steinbrenner involved, but the one I really like, too, is The Gum with Lloyd Braun. When they're working at
he's
the
wearing those enormous glasses. So funny.
This is what the holidays are all about. Three buddies sitting around chewing gum.
Having a chew.
Let's all have a chew.
Like, come on. That's awesome.
Oh, God, that's a good one. And
so many good episodes, man.
The gum was fun. That was a fun one. Lloyd Braun. Was that part of Serenity and I was a little later after that, right? So that was when I remembered.
Yeah.
Was George at his most manic.
Serenity now and Sanity later.
That's right. Lou, favorite episodes, favorite moments.
There's a number of them that are like very famous that kind of put the show on the map, like the contest and the two-parter with Keith Hernandez or the opposite. If I had to go one singular episode that's not like super, super famous, even though it's highly acclaimed, it's the Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorites.
It was later in the series, and the show was really self-aware, and so they really knew what they were working with. And the fact that Jerry and Kramer switching apartments and turning into each other.
That was awesome.
And Kevin's like George caught, running with his own lie, stealing the girl's clock. Because she thinks she stole his sable hat.
Close down.
You're right, yeah.
To that episode.
It's a good chuck.
That was a great one. That must have been amazing.
Oh, I knew you threw
an episode you didn't like of Seinfeld.
Ooh, good. That's another good question. You know what? Jared, let's save that for the next round. We can use that as our bridge for the next round. So,
all right.
Episodes we didn't like, and I have a few in my mind.
One that I really didn't like.
I'm going to be interested to hear that. So let's get on with it. Oh, audio's down. Let me just do one more for you, and then we'll get to our final or our next round, which is really tough. I will warn you. But here we go.
Darn it, it's ham and cheese again. And she forgot the fancy mustard. I told her I like that fancy mustard. You know, you can put that fancy mustard on the shoe and it would taste pretty good to me. Oh, she made up for it with a cupcake, though. Hey, look at this. You know, I got a new system of eating these things, George. I used to peel off the chocolate. Now I turn it upside down. I eat the cake first and save the frosting for the end. It's almost a dessert.
Good luck, everybody. Question 31. Which recurring character employed Elaine... George. There you have it. Some highlights from number 5 on our top 5 of 2016 Seinfeld trivia. Jerry, Lou, and Junkie competing for what we call the master of his domain. That was from April the 5th. Now we go to number 4 in our countdown, and it is Louisville Clemson Preview MLB. And this was the episode where we had Yachts join us as guest picker. This was a very, very fun episode, and these highlights will show you what that was all about. Let's go to the NFL. Let's get our NFL recaps in. And for this week, we will begin with our friend Andy in Seattle. Andy, your NFL recap from week number 3.
Let me just catch my breath here. I'm just went on Twitter and just got too many LOL Kimbrel scenarios. I mean, he did it to himself, but like all these Yankee fans being like, the Red Sox suck. They still won the division. It's awkward. They gave up a walk-off grand slam, but they still won. The Kimbrel VRA takes a hit, but let's focus on the NFL. So here we go. Called it on the Patriots. Ron called it on the Bills, but he's not here, but congratulations, Ron. LOL Steelers, LOL Bears, LOL Giants. I mean, the frickin' Giants are in cruise control last week in the third quarter, up 14-6, 14-9, whatever it was. And then they just get careless. They get sloppy. They let Kirk Cousins turn into, you know, Joe Theismann. Eli throwing interceptions. I don't know if they were his fault or I don't know. I've yet to see an interception where every Giant fan has been in agreement saying that it's his fault. The punting situation was a disaster. Just sloppy play out of the Giants. They are. I know they're 2-1, but they are the most fraudulent 2-1 that I can see. They barely beat Dallas by a point. They couldn't even score against a Saint defense that basically gave up 85 points to Atlanta the other night. And then Washington was one win away from basically being dead for the season, and then they went on the road. And McDoo-Doo probably saying all the right things. We'll protect the Duke. We'll get better. I'm sorry, you're walking into a buzzsaw next week against Minnesota. I'll talk about that game later, but fuck the Giants. They think they're so fucking classy. All they do is they're so undisciplined. And I know I'm spoiled with a Patriot fan and watching Bill be smug and arrogant, and, you know, they're very disciplined. But you don't see them having all sorts of yellow laundry all over the field. The Giants can't get out of their own fucking way. I don't care if you have Spags, Coughlin, anybody calling the shots. They are just such clowns. So there's my Giant rant. I am impressed by the Vikings. You guys were on top of that. I mean, without their original starting quarterback and without AP, they don't miss a beat. Something's wrong with Carolina. We'll talk about that later, perhaps. Seahawks got their act in gear. I guess anyone can do that against San Francisco. The Browns continue to be the Browns. I mean, gee whiz. And, the Jets took a step back. I don't know what to think about the Jets. I mean, they looked great offensively against the Bills a couple Thursday nights ago. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, talk about those New York quarterbacks on Sunday. I mean, between the two of them, I mean, it was just like, my goodness. But, you know, some of the Jet fans are still impressed. Like, he tried his hardest. But, I mean, geez, all you had to do in the red zone at that point is just, I mean, sometimes 3 points is better than a pick six or even just a regular interception. Yes, I had the Jets. That's why I'm extra angry right now. But, geez, can you have a little bit of respect to the pigskin? You can't just throw the ball into the hands of the Chiefs. But, and then, yeah, crash and burn on Sunday night. Everything was going wrong. I liked the Cowboys at 9 a.m., but when 4:45, when all my games going bunk, 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 I was like, yeah, I'm going to take the Bears, the same Bears team that drove me to insanity on Monday when they played who the Bears play last Monday? The Eagles. I was like, I'm gonna take the Bears again. Yeah, let's take Brian Hoyer on Sunday night. That'd be smart. And I was like, are we gonna see the Dallas punter? I haven't seen the Dallas punter yet. It finally came out in the third quarter. But and John Fox, the one time he tries to get aggressive, he does an onside kick. They recovered it, but they called offside on the specials. So I was like, John Fox, wrong time to get aggressive. That was just an embarrassment. I think the Bears are going to be pretty bad, but good job by Dallas. They put America to sleep on that Sunday night game. And John's Packers team looked very good, at least for the first three quarters. Aaron Rodgers got his mojo back, and that can only be positive things for the Packers and scary things for the rest of that division, except for the Vikings.
Well, you're right about the Vikings. Andy, and it's true that John called this last week when we were head to head on that Carolina Minnesota game, and I don't know what happened with the Panthers, but you're right. Something's amiss. Got to give it to the Vikings defense. That defense was really good. You know, Kelvin Benjamin had zero catches in that game at Carolina last week. So that's a pretty wild performance by any defense to limit a guy like him to zero catches. That's incredible. So I don't even know if they had a touchdown in the game, Carolina. I don't think they did. So that was pretty rough for them. So, John, let's get your week in recap. What do you have to say about the Vikings? Wow, these guys got pretty good all of a sudden.
Yeah, Dave. You know, unfortunately, as a Packers fan, I was kind of hoping maybe they'd lose but cover. But man, their defense is good, and maybe it's kind of I shouldn't feel so bad about them shutting down Rodgers the week before. You know, I was kind of despondent over how Rodgers was playing. I mean, obviously, it kind of went back towards last year, but I guess I can kind of hope that he played bad and they were still within three. So maybe by the end of the year when they play again, we'll have things figured out. But the Vikings, very impressive. I do still kind of think it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors because, they're scoring defensive touchdowns and the whole deal. So maybe that will come back down to earth a little bit. But you can't deny that their defense is probably the best in the league at the moment. And, they're making things happen. So got to give them credit. And, Monday night should be interesting, Giants and Vikings. Now, if I said to you before the season, say that maybe January 1st, that, Trevor Siemian would be starting for the Broncos and would be 3-0 and actually look like a really good NFL quarterback. I mean, I picked the Bengals in that game, and they were daring him to throw the ball, and he played a phenomenal game, 4 touchdowns, over 300 yards, and that really should open things up for the rest of their offense. As a C.J. Anderson fantasy owner, that game really made me happy because now the teams, Siemian proved he could throw the deep ball, they're going to back off a little bit, and there'll be some running lanes for Anderson. I was very impressed with them. I picked the Bengals, and they spit the bed, but the Broncos, very impressive with Siemian. Carson Wentz, too. Who would have thunk it? It's funny how, the kind of the chain of reaction happens. Say Teddy Bridgewater doesn't get hurt, doesn't blow out his knee. Is Wentz even starting right now? And, what's the Vikings record with Bridgewater? And what's the Eagles record with Bradford starting? Are they both 3-0? I mean, I guess we'll never know. It's kind of the mysteries of the NFL. I know, to kind of think of that. And then my Packers, very, very pleased to see Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson kind of have that connection that they had 2 years ago in 2014. You saw that in the first half. Got with that huge 31-3 lead, and especially since they were missing 5 defensive starters. They did pretty well to hold the Lions down for a while. And, obviously you get up so big, you're going to play a little bit of prevent defense. So, I get it. I don't like the fact that they, got so close within a touchdown, but it is what it is. Eddie Lacy looked great. I mean, they need to get him some more carries. He's averaging like 5 or 6 yards a carry, so we'll see what happens after the bye. And the bye week comes at a good time for them, like I said, with all those defensive starters. Let's see what else here. It's over in New Orleans. I am never going to pick the Saints again in my life. Andy, if I ever say I'm taking the Saints, please tell me to slap me upside the head or something. It's just done. They're done. I called it last year. I was so stupid, thinking the karma or whatever for 10 years of Katrina was going to boost them somehow the other night. It's so ridiculous. They're the worst team. Them and the Bears are like the worst team in the NFL. Might be as bad as the Browns. At least the Browns try. They sent the game to overtime. The Saints are just a complete joke. And one last thing, Carson Palmer can go fuck himself. 4 interceptions against the Buffalo Bills. They made Fitzpatrick look like a freaking Hall of Famer, and this clown goes in there with maybe the best receiving core in the NFL, and he's throwing 4 interceptions. Get bent, Carson Palmer.
That was a shock, no question. I mean, but then again, everybody was saying it could be a trap, and there it was. I mean, the Bills just out of nowhere just went in and just dominated the the Cardinals, and that's part of what makes them the Cardinals. They seem to tend to, they can do that sometimes. It's just very strange. So one other note I wanted to make about the NFL last week, I think the Rams might be one of the most overrated defenses in the NFL, because I thought, you know what, when Tampa Bay was about to play them on Sunday, I thought that Jameis Winston was going to have a performance similar to the one he had at Arizona, interestingly, the week before. Instead, he ends up having like 32 fantasy points, like all these touchdowns. I mean, how good could the Rams really be if they're giving up 32 to the Tampa Bay Bucks? So I wasn't very impressed at all with that defense. Oh, they got this defense. They're so tough. It's like, come on. Overrated. Overblown. Okay, let's go to John in Stamford, a.k.a. Yachts. Let's get your recap. I realize that the Colts and the Chargers went back and forth, but, well, I'll let you hand take it from there. John, let's get your recap from the NFL.
Dave, as much as it's a new year, you know, but as many things are new, so many things stay the same. And I'm going to start with two teams that I'm so sick and tired of hearing about them every single year. And those two teams are the Texans and the Bengals. Every year. This is their year. This is their year. I swear to God, I've been hearing that longer than the Texans has been in existence, that this is their year. Okay? I'm so tired of hearing about it. I have no idea why Marvin Lewis wasn't fired after that meltdown by his defense last year. I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense. I still don't know why he wasn't fired. Anyway, now we'll get to the Browns. The Browns are the Browns. And people say, okay, why? You know, you can't say that. You can't go from year to year because the players are different. So just because a team did something this many years ago doesn't mean the same team's going to do something later because it's different players. Well, then explain to me teams like the Browns, okay? I was actually at a Dolphins bar when I saw him line up for that field goal, and I'm like, he's missing this thing. He's not, you know, it's like, no, because he's on the Browns. That's why. That's the reason, okay? The Chargers, the same crap. This is a team that I don't have anything in front of me right now, but if you're talking about amount of time in a game that they've been winning this season, they were winning the entire Chiefs game. They won the Jacksonville game, and they were winning most of the Colt game. You know what a good team does in that situation? They're 3-0. What are the Chargers? 1-2. Okay? Why? You think the Patriots would be 1-2 if they were winning the amount of time the Chargers were winning? No chance in hell, okay? That's the Chargers. Now we'll go to the flip side. The Patriots, they could put me at quarterback and they'd probably go 16-0, okay? Let's be real here for a second, all right? The Rams, you brought them up. This is weeks 1 and 2 sum up the Rams perfectly, okay? They get destroyed by the Niners, and then they destroy the Seahawks. That's what the Rams are. They've been doing that for how many years? Was it surprising? I don't know. If you follow what the Rams do, I don't think it was that surprising, to be honest with you. And here's another one, the Broncos, okay? Of course they're 3-0. Of course they are. Who's the quarterback? Oh, I don't know. Trevor Siemian, who's that? Oh, they're 3-0. All right. So as much as things you say, oh, everything's new, it's a new year, have some faith. Well, how much of it is identical year after year? The two exceptions I will say, though, you alluded to Arizona. I don't know what's going on there. I thought they were going to beat Buffalo last week. Basically, if Rob Ryan is your defensive coordinator, I assume you're going to lose the game. That's pretty much where I'm at with them. And Carolina, I'm not sure what's going on with them either. I definitely would not expect them to be 1-2.
Well, I mean, game one was...
Oh, and one other quick thing. The Jets, I don't know what that was. I mean, going into Arrowhead is not easy. I probably would have said that the Chiefs were going to win, but I didn't think they were going to win like that. That was like, you know, that was brutal. But anyway, that's... I'm not sure what the Jets are.
I guess we'll find out in a couple more weeks about the Jets. So they tend to have those moments where they can really rise and have a great performance, and then they can do that. Like, so it's hard to say. at this point. But I mean, the Steelers did that too against the Eagles. Kind of a called it on that.
Wait, Dave, can I say one more thing about the Chargers? Because it just hit me. We've played 3 weeks, okay? Week one, Keenan Allen lost for the season. Mm-hmm. Week two, Danny Woodhead lost for the season. Week three, Manti Te'o lost for the season.
Dang.
I can't make it up.
You can't.
Whose turn is it this week? Melvin Gordon? I mean, who's next? It's unbelievable. Okay, go ahead. I'm done.
I feel
it's like
pain.
If you have an injury, you're out for the season. There's no like, oh, okay, it's not so bad. Nope, out for the season. All right, thanks.
Oh, man. It is brutal, I must say, so I've got nothing to add to that. Let's go ahead and go to the picks then. We go back to our leader, Andy, in Seattle. Andy, whenever you're ready, let's make it happen. It's all yours, Andy.
All right, well, let me just freeform a little bit more because these guys were ramping, and I'm fired up now too. Yeah, like seriously. The Saints, no one should let any, you know, friends don't let friends drive drunk. Friends should not let friends take the Saints, okay? They're 4-11 at home in the past, like, 2-plus seasons. That is just fraudulent. But if you listen to the experts on ESPN or NFL Network, you're still going to cite the home crowd and home field advantage. Even without Rex Ryan, that defense is just pathetic. It's sad. It's sad. It's pathetic and sad. And Denver, if Denver plays Tampa this week, and I'm assuming they're going to win, and then surprisingly, if Atlanta beats Carolina, all of a sudden Atlanta is in the driver's seat in that pathetic armpit of the division. That's kind of scary. And then I think the Colts-Jaguars game in England, loser should stay there because you don't deserve to come back to the States if whoever loses that game. But
another thing on a personal note is that when this has been mentioned by others when it involved their team, and it definitely impacts me with my team. I hate when people are like, oh, sorry, Yachts, when the Chargers lost. Oh, sorry, Yachts. I hope that those people, and this is one of my favorite Andy lines that of all time, is like, I hope they have the eternal cold toilet when they sit down. It never warms up. It's just so annoying. Like, just be quiet. I know you mean well, but I don't want to hear from you.
There was Yachts breaking it down as only he could as part of the Louisville Clemson preview show from September 28th. And in those highlights, we heard from the entire panel. We had some thoughts from Andy. We had some thoughts from Checker. And everybody was airing their grievances, which is typically what we do on football picks. But Yachts getting his first crack at it on the podcast was definitely a gem for all of us. So we really enjoyed that. And that was number 4 from the countdown of our top 5 from 2016. And we now go right to number 3. And number 3 was the MLB postseason preview from 2016. This is the only one of the postseason previews that Ari, Jerry, and I did during a postseason game. But it just happened that the scheduling was during the middle of one of the wild card games in baseball. And on this wild card game, some very, very bad managing. And it did not take long for Jerry and Ari to get on top of Buck Showalter, who was at that point managing the Baltimore Orioles, for this incredible blunder that develops as it happens as we are recording the program in real time.
Oh,
my gosh. Runners in the corners.
He's going to third.
This is not going to take...
Oh, you know what? Buck Showalter is the worst. Oh, man.
This is ridiculous. So here we go. One out. 2-2. Two on.
There's a guy in the bullpen, like Ari said, who has 4 earned runs all year.
4 earned runs and 3.
Not be used.
3 of the runs were in April, and all the other months, 1 run.
Wow.
He will not be used in a winner-go-home game.
1 earned run, I should say. Jeez.
He's playing like this. Like this is game 1 of like 7.
With a 5 ERA. Are you kidding me?
No, they're taking him out. Are they taking him out?
Is Britton even warming?
That outfielder's certainly not happy with the decision.
Wow. I mean, what is going on?
I don't...
Is he even warming?
I see a conference on the mound, so Showalter's out. It doesn't look like he's going to take him out, but we'll see.
They're not pulling him. They haven't shown the bullpen at all, so I don't even know if anybody's warming.
I should go check on my the guy. I follow a Blue Jays guy.
And Encarnacion's coming up. A long fly ball ends the game. You're telling me you don't want a guy that can strike somebody out?
So much for the theory that they were waiting for Donaldson, right?
Dave, Ari, this is my mind is blown. They're going to walk him, right?
Well, let's find out, guys. Let's find out. One out. Here we go.
This is insane.
The first pitch.
This is one of the worst managerial jobs I've ever
had. Oh, there it is.
Game over.
He's way out of there.
Three batters.
Holy cow.
Three. And all three got on base.
That was in the second level. Wow.
All three.
You gotta be kidding me.
And that is the end of the game. Toronto wins 5-2.
You have
after
to be kidding.
Leaving the best relief pitcher in the game on the bench. Ari, thoughts?
I mean, my mind is blown right now.
I mean, I don't think you're exaggerating when you just said this is the worst managerial performance you've ever seen. I mean, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen a manager do. How do you do that?
It is one of the worst managerial performances in a big game I've ever seen. I've ever seen, Ari.
I mean, off the top of my head, I cannot think of anything stupider. You know, leaving Matt Harvey in the game in the World Series in the ninth inning was pretty stupid.
But not
it's not even close to
that
this.
Not even close to this.
I just saw your tweet, Jerry. If I'm an O's fan, I'd want Buck fired.
Stunned right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is trotting in. The graphic comes on the screen. He has a 5.5 ERA. He faces three guys. All three get on base. And the third
he's
one
a starter. He's in a role that he's not used to playing. And in the role that he's used to playing, he's not very good.
He's not. He hasn't been for years. Everybody's letting him have it on the Twitter. I can see Molly Knight's chipping in.
He deserves it.
Dan Heron's chipping in. Oh, absolutely. No, I'm with you. This is ridiculous. This is just like you thought you've seen bad decisions before.
I mean,
you know?
if he's
Dan
hurt.
Heron's hilarious, dude. You saw his tweet?
I did not.
Well, I think he said that he would get in the game before Zach Britton. with the win, Blue Jays set up a rematch with the Texas Rangers coming up on, what is it, today is Tuesday, so on Thursday afternoon. Get ready for that, everybody, because the bullpen guys were not utilized to their potential, to say the least, in Baltimore. So
I will remind you, Dave, that you said we'd be off the air before this game ended.
Well, that's true, but we kind of... That's true. That's such a good point. Well, so much for that, huh, guys? It's been... Oh, man. Well, that's how it starts. Wow. Well, if that's any indicator what we're going to have, we will have juice, and we may have additional bad decisions like that to fuss over. And you certainly can be frustrated by that. So, your separation.
I'm in shock.
Yeah, yeah, no,
I mean, because Buck is like everything you hear about Buck is he's how great he is at managing a bullpen. I mean, jeez.
Wow.
And what's funny is you guys,
I don't know what to say.
5 innings ago, you called this. Like it was maybe 3 innings ago, you called this. So
yeah, I called it in the 9th inning.
Absolutely.
I said, why is he not pitching now?
Can't make it up.
When they came back from commercial, I said the same thing. I said, wow, Britton's not on the mound. I'm very shocked. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is absolutely crazy.
Well, when you lose a game like that, you don't deserve to be in the next round anyway. I mean, they had their chances. And I mean, look, there was the 10th inning they could have brought him out there. The 11th inning they could have brought him out there. No, nothing. So,
I mean, especially once you burn through all your regular bullpen guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like, what's the incentive at this
point? You're going to throw a starter out there, an unfamiliar role?
Not even a good one.
Yeah, not even a good one.
Not even a good starter.
Yeah, wow. And that is...
I'm stunned.
It is... I mean, that's the equivalent of throwing Brett Tomko in a big into a playoff game this late in the game. It just you just can't do it.
Jeff Weaver in 03.
Yeah, Jeff Weaver. That's another good one. Yeah, that's another good one. That's right. Against Florida. That's right. Yeah.
Gee. All eyes on you now, Feeds. Now it's the Mets' turn.
Yep.
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 You ready comes or what?
Next game up.
That's right. Next game
you ready?
Up.
I am ready. I am ready.
You gonna be drinking any cocktails during the game?
Maybe after the kids go to sleep, so that might happen.
Depending on the outcome of the game,
or after the game, it could definitely happen.
The last time the Yankees were in the playoffs, they tried to kick me out of the bar. They shut the lights off.
Wow!
Well, no one's kicking me out of here. I own the place.
I like it. I like that. I like the attitude there. That's good stuff. Well,
actually,
guys,
I'm a co-owner, and there is one person who could kick me out of here.
No, that's true. That's true. There,
but she won't.
That ball was smoked too, man. Holy crap!
Yeah, no doubt at all. It was not even close. Like the bat velocity that I don't know if you get annoyed by that. I don't get it. I like it actually. I like the bat velocity statistic, but it must have been like 100 miles per hour coming off the bat.
That ball was smoked.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. Wow.
Well, that was, we all three of us said it at the same time. We all witnessed something that has been, it's going to be talked about for a while. I'm sure tomorrow will be the topic of conversation tomorrow on Sports Talk Radio. And I know one diehard Oriole fan. I won't even talk to him until tomorrow because he must be sick.
That's hard to figure. And so for those of you listening here on the podcast, you are a witness to history. You heard it as it happened as we were recording this. I mean, that is a pretty crazy
moment. It's going to be a good ALDS, though, man. I mean, these two teams that are playing each other, they do not like each other one bit. I mean, it's going to be should be good.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember...
That's true. Yeah, they got that whole Rude Neto Odor and Jose Bautista stuff going on from earlier this year. That should be fun.
Mm-hmm. That's number three from our top five episodes of 2016. MLB postseason preview 2016, Ari and Jerry first guest Buck Showalter withholding Zach Britton, the best closer in baseball at the time, trying to save him for a save situation that never came. I mean, that was certainly a historic podcast, and you can remember going back to that day, and that was from October the 4th in 2016, going back to that day, there was still some uncertainty regarding whether players should be withheld for or the closer should be withheld for the ninth inning or for a safe situation on the road. But, you know, when there's a high leverage situation, clearly you have to use your best guy. And since that time, managers had been very, very proactive in getting their best guys involved in high leverage situations whenever they were, whether you're on the road or at home or whatever. So that was definitely a very groundbreaking moment, and we were really watching that unfold in front of us as we did that podcast. So I'll remember that one for a long time. Number three in our top five of the year. So from that same year, number two on our top five DidCow episodes of 2016 is Cowboys-Packers preview, football picks week number 7, and continuing the theme of carrying over our friend Jerry Piscataway from the last entry in our countdown. We have him a big part of number two on our list, and he joins the Football Picks panel to do Football Picks for the first time as a guest picker, and it was hilarious. And really, so much to recap here, so many highlights. I did the best I could encapsulating into these two clips. So first, you're going to hear him trying to break down certain scenarios as we get into the meat of this football picks week. Now, he does try to do picks during the middle of this, but it goes off on tangents so crazy that it's just going to make everybody in the group laugh their butt off. Let's now welcome our guest picker. And again, he'll be a rookie with the picks, so I'll help him every step of the way, and I'm hopefully... our panel can chip in wherever needed. So let's bring him in. Jerry in Piscataway back after last week, having me and Ari and him just rant on Buck Showalter. Good times. First guessing. And we called it, man. We did. So, Jerry, welcome to the program. How's it going tonight?
Dave, my picks are going to be horrible, but I'll try.
No, it's all good. It's all good. We're really excited to have you on, and there's certainly a lot to talk about. So that's the real reason to do the guest picks.
I meant to look. I literally just got off a work call with some guy. It took me an hour and a half to get over it, but
yeah, no, it's
I'm here. I'm here. I'm believing in the weatherman, so I'm here.
I gotcha. So good stuff. Well, you know, each of us are gonna spend some time with our picks. So while we do that, you can always go to VegasInsider.com and look at the lines and just use the consensus column, and then just grab a couple games and we'll go and write them down, and we'll wish you luck on the picks. So good stuff, Cap. Cap, say hello to the panel. Ron, here he is. Cap is here. So say hello to everybody.
Ron, trust the weatherman. John T, good to talk to you. And Andy, 4 years no call, baby.
I know. Putting in a hotel bar.
Dave, that might be one of my favorite moments of the vid show. Dave just knows the weatherman. Cat says to believe in the weatherman, and we get a good stuff.
I'm telling you, man, this guy Fidge, he's got to trust the weatherman.
I feel so bad for Fidge.
Wherever he is, poor Fidge.
And he has no idea what any of it means.
No, none. I just found out who Kid the Charlemagne the God is today. So
Charlemagne the God.
Oh, my God. I picture Fiddle having like a Yom Kippur dinner with his family. getting a text message, and his kid gets the phone and tells him, Daddy, the captain tells you that you have to believe in the weatherman. Oh, okay.
He's finna get a hailstorm, man.
And right after that comes in a kitty shot.
Dude, there are times I literally sit at my desk and I'm reading like through the post, and then Ron will post both random shit, and I'll just start dying.
Ron, this is a good.
Well, somebody believe in him.
Oh my God. It'll take a week. I'll figure it out at some point. Oh man. And then later in the program, the panel becomes completely unhinged.
The second game, I want to take Rutgers. I mean, I think they're playing. They're playing Illinois.
Yes, they are. Illinois is a six or nine point favorite.
I want to think that because they have not scored a point in about, you know, 2 weeks, that, you know, they'll come show some juice this week and actually cover. So I'm going to go with a surprise pick of Rutgers, because these past 2 weeks were just an embarrassment. And I would like to think that they're going to have some self-pride and they're not playing two of the top teams in the country for once. And hopefully they'll show up and not make me look stupid with that pick.
All right, good luck with the picks, Jerry. And officially the line is plus six for Rutgers.
Ooh.
At the birthplace of college football. So, it could be interesting. So you could go to that game, right?
I could and I won't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's literally like about 7 minutes from where I am, and I'm not going to do it.
I actually like that pick. I like the Rutgers pick plus six. Illinois is a horrible team. They're not much better than Rutgers, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're that good. And Rutgers at home, hopefully they'll show some pride and, you know, play some good football this weekend.
I got two words for you. Lovie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Fucking day, man.
There's a circle of hell somewhere.
I totally forgot he was with Illinois, and I was out watching the game. And they showed him on the screen, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, Lovie Smith coaches Illinois. That's crazy.
Yep.
He shouldn't be there.
There's a circle of hell out there where someone who wants to watch football while they're burning up is forced to watch BC, Kansas, Illinois, and Rutgers.
Oh.
That's all you get.
Oh, man. Rough. Well,
I was starting to regress to that point.
That's right there, true.
Like they did the previous 3 years.
Yeah.
They're a fucking tough team to watch, too. Holy shit.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because I was watching Iowa play. What team were they playing that they lost to? Purdue or something? No, it wasn't Purdue. That would have been rough, but it was somebody.
Wait, who's the big Rutgers fan on the board? What's his name again?
PD.
Toe Jam or something?
Yeah.
PD? I love messing with him, yeah. Talking about bringing Kyle Flood back. He goes nuts.
Listen, that might be, Dave, that might be the biggest news of the past sports week. Not that, the Cubs won or, some NFL team won. It's that PD's dad donated $50,000 to the Rutgers football program.
I saw that. Oh, my God.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Of all the things he can donate.
So pissed.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Do you think they opened up that check and they're just like, is this a joke? Nobody really gave a bouncy grand.
And you wonder where Petey gets it from, now you know.
God, he has every right to complain about Rutgers football now.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, my God. And he's, like, talking about, the best perk. What was he said the best perk was? It wasn't, like, the club seats. It wasn't, like, the access. It wasn't, like, the spread or any of that. But I forgot what he said. But
I think they let him play in the fourth quarter for 50 grand.
I know, seriously. You didn't have to worry before. you can't make it up. I mean,
they let him dress. That's funny.
That's great.
Anybody get any pool skimming pictures yet?
I'm waiting till December for some pool skimming pictures. Fuck you guys with the East Coast.
I wonder who's gonna hang out at the airport and heckle people still.
Imagine going on vacation to Florida with your family, and you're leaving. You know, you went to Disney, had a great time. You're all in high spirits, and you're in the airport with your kids, and there's some guy in a jet shirt sitting there yelling at you to go home, you fucking loser.
Go home to your 30-degree weather, you asshole.
Oh, God.
Can't make it up.
Where did that thing come out of the blue yesterday about if you like a team in another city, you should move there? Doesn't he live in Florida and root for the Jets? What the fuck are you talking about?
I got to read this one. I must have missed this. This from yesterday's breakfast thread?
Yeah, he randomly threw something in there that if you root for a team in Boston, move there or something like that.
He lives in Florida and roots for every New York team.
That's I missed great. Out on that one. Wow, that's funny.
I don't think anybody gave him the time of day, so it got dropped.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can't.
He always has an issue with something, man. That one day out of nowhere when he started talking about Sandy, I was like, I think he's joking. I hope he's joking.
I don't know.
I will never forget. My brother posted a random thing about FanDuel saying like something like, "God bless you if you took Greg Salas at 4,500." And 5 minutes later, out of nowhere, he came in. Killing the Devils and the Chiefs, saying, "How dare you talk about Craig Salas? That's why he's on the Jets. Fuck you for talking about Craig Salas. I hope the Chiefs never win and the Devils burn in hell."
I've never heard Cap laugh like this. This is great.
Oh my God.
Biebs is a Hall of Famer, man. I seriously, this is great. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
That was number two from our top five of 2016. Jerry and Piscataway guest hosting and doing the guest picks for Football Picks Week 7. That was from October the 12th. Now, before we go to our number one episode of 2016, let's go back to the baseball panel, and that means more Jerry, but it's this time Jerry and Ari and me getting into some more baseball talk. This goes back to the All-Star break of 2016 when the All-Star game was in San Diego. It's a good game. But we certainly had a lot of fun recapping that. And then getting into some other particulars from baseball up to that point of the season.
I like this event every year. Every year, everybody craps on it. Every year, everybody says baseball is not fun. Baseball is boring. Baseball doesn't do anything to attract people who don't already watch it. And then they do this thing, and everybody craps all over it. I don't know. I think it's fun. They have... it's American versus National, though there's no reason why any
no,
of these, on these teams.
That's kind of because
the celebrities, you know, I guess the celebrity picks a team that they're a fan of, and they wear that uniform, and they're on that league's team. But whatever it is, celebrities and ex-players, and it's a softball game, and it's kind of good. And the only thing I don't like about it is Adnan Virk, who annoys the hell out of me. I cannot stand him. On the air, he just he's like, he reminds me, and I was telling you this off the air, he reminds me of Minko, because I don't understand how someone who speaks like that can work on the air speaking. Every sentence he says has a problem with it, or like a I don't know, and I'm stuttering while I'm making fun of the way somebody else talks, but at least I'm not getting paid. So anyway, he annoys me. But the rest of the game, I really think it is fun. You were there live, but you didn't stay for the game because you had other stuff to do. Because this game happens right after the Futures game.
Yep.
And then they air it right after the Home Run Derby. And I don't know. Some of the celebrities playing don't know the rules of baseball, which is kind of annoying, but... you have a Swedish model come and play. She's never seen baseball before.
I was going to get to that. Yeah.
At least she's a Swedish model. So, at least, there's something redeeming, for it as a television show. You know, she hits the ball and she runs down the first baseline, but doesn't touch first
Not
base.
Not even close.
Like, she's who like told three... me who, and later they interviewed her and she's like, who told me that I had to touch the first base? Like, here, there is, they call it baseball for a reason.
What else would the base be for? You know, it's just like
base. It's a base. And they call it baseball, and that's ball. But
that
anyway,
was hysterical.
So yeah, I mean, but it's funny. I mean, people hit home runs. You get old players. You get pitchers who, Trevor Hoffman was playing and he's hitting the ball. You know, he never got to hit as a real player, but he hits now. David Wells was in the game.
Oh, love that.
Jenny Finch plays every year. I don't know why they don't let her pitch like for real, the way she pitches. She pitches. I think that she should pitch the way for real when she's facing a former major league hitter.
Wow. And
pitch like slow pitch when she is facing a celebrity. But maybe the person behind the plate won't be able to catch it. Maybe that's
that
why.
Might be part of that. That's true. Because who's catching the ball? That's a good question.
But that could be fun because she's legit. I don't know. I don't really have much else of substance to say about it, but I thought it was fun.
I love the play at the plate at the end of the game too. The game, it was a good game. It was really competitive.
Huge dude from Ballers, whose name I forget.
Omar Miller.
Who on Ballers plays a former offensive lineman who's trying to make a comeback. So that's how big the dude is. He's playing first base in this game, but he goes and covers the plate on a throw from left field that comes to the plate on one bounce, and the runner tries to ball him over. Obviously, it doesn't work. It's a mismatch. That's the third out. The game's over, and his team won.
Yeah, it came down to some kid from the Disney Channel trying to
pull over this dude who is big enough to play a lineman on a TV show. And it didn't go well for him, but it was fun for us.
Oh, I really enjoyed that. That definitely... So your final score in that game, if anyone was wondering, it was AL 8, NL 7. So, a good time. And this was also a highlight. Terry Crews, who we know, another former NFL player, takes off his shirt during one of his at bats and tries to flex his muscles, and he kind of moves around the pecs, and then David Wells strikes him out in 3 pitches. I thought that was pretty funny. That got some attention on Twitter. And
yes. Terry Crews is a beast of a different kind. Like, he's not Terry Crews, I think, was a linebacker.
I think so. Yeah.
And now he's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's hilarious, but he is built like the proverbial brick, you know what house. but he cannot hit at all.
No, he that was a pretty bad at bat. So good times all around. Now let's get to the Home Run Derby, and this is one I think all of us were watching. So let's start with Cap. Giancarlo Stanton. This guy really was committed to entering this Derby despite not being picked for the game. And you can, you know, you're probably wondering, why was he not in the game? He had an abysmal first half of the season. It just barely picked it up at the end. But his ability to hit the long ball never seemed to go away from him in this contest. He hit 20 home runs in the final round of the Home Run Derby, beating out the defending champion Todd Frazier, set a Home Run Derby record with 61 home runs. And some of these shots, I mean, they were going over to Kwan Sign in center field. They were going right into the third deck. They were coming off the third. Oh, and they were coming over the top of the Western Metal Supply building. I've never seen that before. I mean, I've seen it go off the building, off the balcony. I've never seen it go over the building. It's pretty crazy. So it was a wild time. I mean, that Home Run Derby was pretty good. So, Cap, your thoughts on the Home Run Derby on Monday?
He was unbelievable. And I think your guy, you know, Corey Seager, kind of set it off. You know, he started the competition off really well. I mean, what are you, 15 homers?
Yep, 15.
As a leadoff guy, the 22-year-old rookie. I mean, kid's going to be a stud, man. But, yeah, Stanton, he was my pick. I was talking to some of my friends at the gym before, and I said, you know, the one guy like Trumbo, and I said, you know, Stanton's my guy. And I just saw what he did in Citi Field. I said, he's got his home run swing going. So he was my pick, and he put on an absolute show. I mean, bomb after bomb after bomb, and swing looks effortless sometimes, and the ball just jumps off his bat. He is a mammoth of a human being. He's such a big dude. And, you know, he did have a rough first half. I mean, their team's doing pretty good, but he had a rough first half. If he could start to pick it up, man, and hit for you know, not strike out as much and hit for some more power in the second half, he'll be a dangerous player. But he put on, I thought the Home Run Derby was pretty good. You know, I really enjoyed it this year. And, you know, mostly because of Stanton. Even after he hit, just waiting till he'll come up again. Even Trumbo hit some real bombs. I think Trumbo hit one off the scoreboard.
He did.
He went over the Western Metal Supply building as well. Yeah, I mean, he hit some bombs too. So he put on a really good show. And I was hoping that would be the final. I kind of figured that Stanton would take out Frazier, but it was a good competition. I enjoyed it. And I know people like to crap on it every year and, you know, say it's boring and stuff like that. But, you know, this year I enjoyed it. And when you have guys like Stanton in the mix who can hit 500-foot homers and, you know, hit, you know, balls, you know, over buildings and off the scoreboards, it makes it fun. And that's what, you know, that competition and the weekend's for and the All-Star game and everything. It's fun.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it was really fun to see that new format for a second year in a row. It was it's a really good format. I like the tournament format. It has played very well for these guys, and what's also interesting is that the entire round is now timed so that you can't just wait on outs or whatever and take pitches. Now you pretty much have to swing, and I think that's helped these hitters. Like, you're forced to put yourself into a rhythm. And many of these guys are really, really on a roll. So it was really fun. Let's go to Ari for his thoughts on the Home Run Derby. I mean, certainly a lot of juice.
Yeah, I definitely like the clock. I definitely agree with you that, it used to be you lost when you made a number of outs, whereas, you know, anything you hit that wasn't a homer was an out. And so you had to pick pick the perfect pitch to make sure you could hit it out. And if you didn't get that pitch, you would take. And that's boring. So this is like, there's no penalty for swinging. You either hit a homer or you don't, but the clock's ticking. And so the only penalty, so there's no, you could swing and hit a ground ball or you could take a pitch and the result is the same. So you might as well swing, other than, you know, you might get tired, but there's no penalty because they don't count outs anymore. So that is a big improvement to me. I don't know how these guys swing for 4 minutes straight. I do like the timeouts, I think, probably pretty important, and also they add to the drama. You know, obviously we could all enjoy the Home Run Derby a lot more if somebody else was announcing it. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He is the worst.
Yeah.
You know, I was joking about the down goes Frazier thing on Twitter. Last year I said before the Derby that he was going to say it, and he never got a chance to say it because Frazier won. So he'd been waiting an entire year to say down goes Frazier. And he kept referring to Todd Frazier as Frazier in that voice. But when it came time to say it, he backed off on it and made some kind of remark about Muhammad Ali that didn't even make any sense. Down goes Frazier didn't even happen in a match against exactly. Muhammad Ali. But I called it a match. It is a match.
It is about a match. Boxing.
Yeah,
match.
Boxing match. Yeah. So, but anyway, announcing aside, I thought it was a fun event. I wish, and, you know, no offense to Corey Seager, who's a stud, there are more than 30 guys right now who have more home runs than he does. And so I guess they couldn't get these guys in the Derby. You know, there are people you'd like to see in the Derby that weren't in it. It would have been nice to see Ortiz in it. It would have been nice to see Trout in it. It would have been nice to see,
Harper,
Harper, who's having an off year for him, but yeah, Machado, right. You know, a lot of these guys, are having great years and didn't want to do the Derby. Nelson Cruz, I think, has a lot of homers this year still. So, going into it, I wasn't all that excited about it because it was, you know, it wasn't the biggest home run hitters in the sport. You know, as Jerry alluded to, there's nothing like Mets pitching to wake up Giancarlo Stanton the week before the home run derby. And what he should have done if he really wanted to tweak Met fans was have the pitcher out there who's throwing him the meatballs wear a Mets jersey, because then he probably would have hit even more. So, nothing like that to wake up a guy who goes into the second half hitting .233. But he woke up in that final week against some nice Mets meatballs. But anyway, I think I saw some numbers where the total distance of all the home runs hit by Giancarlo Stanton was like 5 or 6 miles.
Wow. Jeez.
Amazing. He hit 61 homers total that night. So pretty amazing stuff.
That 61 homers, those 61 homers is the record for most home runs hit in a home run derby. And I realize that this is a new format, but that's a lot of home runs. That was some bonus baseball talk from the All-Star break in 2016. Jerry and Ari and I, the baseball bunch, getting into it. The bulk of that conversation was about the celebrity softball All-Star game that they did during that year. And they do that every year. And they usually don't air until after the home run derby, so it's not live, but it's still a lot of fun to watch. And even in recent years, the event has been entertaining, although not one to be taken serious, and nobody does. It's actually a pretty fun time. So now, without any further delay, let's get to number one from our top five episodes of the year. Number one is Catching Up with Tom and Junkie. This was the last Random Questions with Junkman for quite a while, and it was a very momentous occasion. We had Tommy New Jersey on the show as well, and it really wound up being not just a mere moment to catch up with a couple of guys that we've known for a long time on this program, but it really marked a turning point in their lives as well. You know, Junkie and I, we're good friends. We've known each other for a long time, and you've heard less of him. But I think there's a good reason for it, because he's really expanded his horizons. And I also had the privilege of meeting he and his girlfriend, Suni. And my God, these guys really get along well together. And so they've known each other for a long time. And so I'm here to announce to you tonight. Congratulations, Junkman! My goodness, you are engaged to your longtime girlfriend. I am so thrilled for you. Welcome to the show, Junkie. What's new with you? Obviously this. tell me a little bit how you're feeling. You must be buzzing.
How's it going, Dave?
I'm doing fine. I mean, I am nothing compared to what you are right now. I'm doing okay. I am doing okay. Things are fine. It's chilly out here. But let me also bring to the program, since we are all in on this together, another guy who is engaged.
Another guy
who got engaged about the same week that Junkie did. Tom in New Jersey, congratulations.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Kevin. How are you, my bet, bud?
What's going on, Tom?
Nothing new. Nothing new. Just got engaged. Not a big deal. Move on.
Not a big deal at all.
Not a big deal.
I want to hear about how it all happened, fellas. I mean, you guys have, you guys are nice guys. I mean, I met you, I think I've met you, Tommy, a couple times. And it couldn't have happened to better guys. And I'm thrilled for both of you. And, you know, you guys have really had a good thing going so far. Now, here comes the Dave Mush. Maybe it'll end up in the whole wedding will fall apart and nasty divorce, the prenup or something. But seriously, this is great, and if we're not just contributors to the program, we are certainly friends, and I'm glad to call you guys friends. So we will start with the junk man because it's been a while. I don't think we've had you on the show since the Seinfeld show, so that was about a month ago, I think it was.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So how did it happen? What was the lead up? What was the lead up to this exciting moment? Where were you? What did you do? What did you say?
Well, the lead up was very long. The actual scenario was short, but I tend to get obsessive about things. Not so much about the asking or the where it's going to be, but so what happened was from about January, whatever, I spent about 4 months of my life with every, free moment I had researching diamonds.
Wow.
So I obsessed over that. I wanted, you know, working with different people, getting the right ring. That became like my mini winter obsession. along the lines of, you know, having a new job, moving to a place, all stuff. But all my free time was spent there. So the actual engagement part, the actual asking the thing from, so it took a good 3 months to do all of my research and all that stuff. And then I got the ring on a Thursday and I did it the next day. So the actual planning that part happened really fast, but the long, like intensive part was me doing, I just get, so there's certain things that I just kind of get into like a little rabbit hole and I just became like a diamond expert, and that was interesting, and I learned a lot. And then, so I got it. I made them deliver it to my sister's house, so there was no chance of ruining the surprise. And then I literally picked it up the next day. We went to Larchmont, which is a town in Westchester County, which is where she grew up, and walked around, went out to dinner, and then sort of just subtly, randomly turned the corner to like, her the street where she grew up on, and then just proposed to her in front of the house that she doesn't live in. Her family doesn't live there anymore. It's long been sold and redone, but it was like the house, the neighborhood where she grew up and had a lot of good memories. So I just kind of did it right in front of the house.
That's amazing. I mean, how charming is that? You took her to her childhood street and made it happen right there. What time of day was it? Was it during the day? Was it at night? Was it like sunset?
Well, yeah, we walked around a lot during the day, and then we had like dinner at 6 or something like that in Larchmont, and then walked. So it was getting dark, so it was probably about 7:38 because it was April, so sun was still setting a little early. So it was getting a little dark, so it's probably like 7:30, maybe.
Twilight.
7:38 o'clock.
Yeah. All right. That's really amazing. And now here's the best part, you guys. Should I jump to this already? I guess I'll jump to it. Sure. When is the wedding, Junkie?
Oh, well, I mean, that's a whole other.
Oh, you haven't decided that. All right. We're getting to that.
I mean, well, yeah, it's a whole other. I'm sure Tommy knows this already. Now it's you do the whole engagement thing in your, and then the wedding is a complete separate organism. It takes on a complete life of its own. It's this whole thing where, so, and I'm sure Tommy will tell his story. So the proposal thing is this moment between two people, and it's very intimate and it's really cool. And it's just the two of you, and you may like tear up, you may smile, you kiss, you do all these kind of really awesome, cool things with just the two of you. And then the minute that that's over, it becomes this thing that includes 150 people.
So you
immediately, you know, so we're driving home and she's sending like pictures to her friends or her family, and then it's sisters and brothers, and when is the bachelor party, when is the bridal shower, when is who's going to have to travel in. So it is the most amazing thing, where it's this moment shared between two people and no one else in the world. You could be in the middle of Times Square if you did it there, and it's just the two of you. And then it's this private moment, and then it just becomes this explosion of plans and flights and who's on vacation when. And it's this all-encompassing just event that is now makes me want to take her to like New Orleans and just have a you, me, Tommy, his wife, and
exactly. And you just want to see as many people as possible,
and then just make Dave get his license online, and Dave can marry the four of us and just do it.
Oh man, that'd be a memorable wedding. You wouldn't forget that, right?
No, I mean it would be terrific. We could have like yachts as the bouncer.
The bouncer? That's
no, we wouldn't really need a bouncer because we wouldn't have anyone. But still, right. That would be cool.
That's fantastic.
But yeah. So the actual proposal and the wedding, they're completely the two completely different things. You have to kind of completely separate everything.
That's true. That's true. Okay, so let's now get to Tom's story, because Tom, I'm sure that you have an equally exciting story. And I saw a picture, I got a glimpse of it. I think Diane posted it, and Diane would be Tom's bride to be.
Yeah, let's be clear before Tom jumps in that Tom and I are not announcing our engagement together.
Correct.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but. It's completely with women, and very attractive women. I've seen
absolutely
pictures of it.
Co-signed on all.
So go ahead. Sorry.
No question. So, yeah, Tom, tell us about the road to your engagement.
As Kevin was telling the story, I was just nodding my head in complete agreement. Pretty much everything he said happened to me. I pretty much became a diamond ring expert, just like Kevin. I know about the four C's. I know what type of ring to get. I pretty much figured out everything you could think of about diamonds. And I did about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months of research online. I went to different jewelers. I asked a ton of people their opinions, family members. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? I made sure I got Diane's ring size perfectly, just under a size 7. It was insane. I mean, no words can describe how long it took to find the perfect ring. Thank God she loves the ring. How it all went down, pretty much, I don't know, maybe like 2 weeks beforehand, I was like, I got a post from my cousin who was like, when are you going to get engaged? Like, hurry up. It's been like over 3 years. So I'm like to myself, all right, enough's enough. Let's do this.
I love it.
So I pretty much just bit the bullet and was like, all right, I'm going to pick out a ring, find it, order it, and let's go. First person I told was Diane's sister. Ooh. And that was probably... I don't know, maybe a week beforehand. But I told her, and I was like, all right, it's going to go down over the weekend. I'm not sure which day, but it's going to happen. of course, she started telling everybody.
Oh, no.
So by the time it went down, pretty much everybody knew except for Diane.
Wow.
I can't keep a secret myself, so pretty much everybody knew except for Diane. And I decided to do it at the Chart House in Weehawken, which is right next to Hoboken, and it has a perfect view of New York City skyline. And Diane and I spent a lot of time in New York, so I thought, let's do it overlooking New York City, because that would be perfect for the both of us. I wanted to make sure to do it at night. I wanted to be at a nice restaurant. I wanted to be right outside of the restaurant afterwards. So I told everybody, Diane's sister told everybody. Diane's sisters actually went to the restaurant and hid in actual bushes and were waiting for me to go outside. And we hired a professional photographer. So we went all out, pretty much.
As I'm
texting Diane's sisters throughout the evening, so Diane knows something's up, because usually when I'm texting, I don't, like, hide my phone or anything. But this time I was, because I didn't want her to read any of the texts. So I'm hiding my phone, and we're eating, and she knows, like, something's up. And then I pay the bill. She goes to the bathroom, which is great. So I pay the bill very quickly. I don't look at how much the bill costs. The waitress could have charged me like $2,000 and I wouldn't have even noticed. I pretty much handed her the credit card and was like, get me that out of here. And I don't remember what I tipped her or anything. Like, the waitress knew something was up and was like, all right, here you go. Let's go. So we started walking out of the restaurant and to the pier outside the restaurant. It's like a good mile walk.
Oh, really?
So I'm like thinking, is this like the Green Mile or something? Like, during that walk, I'm not talking to Diane. My hand is shaking. Like, I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? As we get on the pier, I notice the photographer, so I know she's in position. But there's these two idiots, two women, just randomly in front of us on the pier. And I'm like, get the F out of the way. I have to give my little speech. I have to get to the end of the pier. Finally, they move.
Man.
So I give my little speech to Diane. I'm wondering where her two sisters are, because I want them to be around. Luckily, they are around. Melanie, Diane's sister, takes off her heels to make sure that no one, Diane can't hear her behind us. So I do my little speech. Takes about a minute. Get down on one knee, as I feel is the proper way to do it, and I propose. And I always told Diane, I'm going to propose with a ring pop, the candy ring pop, you know. So I'm like, I'm not going to give you a real ring, I'm going to give you the ring pop. So I have a ring pop in my pocket, and I give her the ring at first, and of course she's shocked, and she's like, oh my God, he's going to propose. And here's the ring pop. Where the hell's the real ring? So she laughs for a minute. Well, not a minute, but like just a couple seconds. And then she kind of looks at me like, where's the real ring? So I give her the real ring.
Ah, nice.
We kiss. We have champagne. And here we are.
Wow. You had a real Broadway production. Let me tell you. You had the photographer.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It was... A little bumps here and there, but everything worked out perfectly. And like Kevin said, afterwards, tons of text, tons of phone calls made, pictures on Facebook immediately. I've never had that many likes on a Facebook post or in my life. My phone was buzzing for like 3 days.
Wow.
It was insane.
How about that? That's our number one episode of 2016, Catching Up with Tom and Junkie. Those two... announcing on the air that they're getting married. I can happily share with you that Junkie and Suni are both still married, doing very well. And as of this recording, They have a new wonderful baby boy named Cody, and they're doing very well. And Tom and Diane are also doing well, living in New Jersey as a married couple. It's good stuff. I think they have a house as well, but they may have already had the house before they got married as well. That's just minutiae, but that's how it ends tonight. Our top five of 2016. We hope you enjoyed it. And I invite everybody to go back into our archives and check out all the past episodes of our show. You may find nuggets of magic in many different parts of our podcast feed, going back all the way to our beginnings in 2009. So that's it from here. Have a wonderful time, everybody, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.